Blog Talk Radio.
To Luther Vandross. This is the Jazz Queen. My co-host Mike Reynolds will be calling in a little bit later, but I do believe we have our guest co-host Terry Steele on the phone. Terry, is that you?
This is me. How are you?
Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Man, I was jamming in my chair, too.
Oh,
I was
Terry,
singing along.
I could not have done the show without you. I am so, so happy that you were able to join us today. Thank you so much.
Oh, it is absolutely my pleasure. I'm serious.
So let me share how I came to know Terry Steele. I was on a cruise. We were both on a cruise in 2007, and Terry was performing his own tribute show to Luther Vandross. And as I was sitting there listening to him sing, it just took me back to all the concerts that I had attended. Terry was so good. He was so, so good. So when I first started talking smooth jazz last year in June, and I did this first tribute show, I knew I had to have Terry on the show. I had to have him on. And Terry, I didn't tell you this last year, but you were my very first artist on
Are you
Talking
serious?
Today.
I did not
yes.
know that. Well, I'm
yes.
honored.
Very first artist, yes. Well, we are very happy to have you here. I am taking phone calls for those of you that would like to share your Luther memories.
Yes.
Please call in and share your stories. 646-716-5485. Now, Terry, we have Jason Miles. He's a producer. He's going to be calling in at 1:30 my time,
okay.
4:30 the East Coast time. And then Lisa Fisher is calling in at 2 o'clock.
I haven't spoken to Lisa in a while. That's a joy, man. Great.
Yeah, I cannot wait to talk to Lisa.
I know she has some stories for you.
Yes, I can't wait to hear her stories. So let's start. Let's first welcome everyone to the chat room. I do have a chat room, and I do have, since we talked last year, Terry, I have a couple of more listeners, and I do have a co-host, but he'll be calling in a little bit later.
Okay.
So let me welcome to the chat room Connie Colbert, Luther 1977, and the J Matt Show. Welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in. All right, Terry.
Yes.
Let's start with how you came to write Here and Now, and how Luther got it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a story, actually. I wrote that song, man, when I was very young, about like maybe 16 or 17, and my pastor's daughter was getting married, and she asked me to come up with something for her wedding, and I came up with Here and Now, and I sang it at her wedding, and then about maybe 5 or 6 years later, I met Dionne Warwick and her son, David Elliott, and I played the song for David, and we changed the groove on it. David's an excellent drummer and producer and vocalist, and he put his touches on it. We went in the studio and came out of the studio and played it for his mom, Dionne Warwick, and she was actually going to a party at Luther's house that same evening, and she and David, I guess, took it over to Luther and played it for him. All I know is I got a phone call very early in the morning, like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I was actually sleeping, and I heard a lot of noise in the background, and David said, Terry, Luther heard Here and Now. He wants to record the song, and I thought it was a joke, you know. So I'm like, yeah, all right, man, you know, tell me about it later. And I actually hung up. I thought it was a joke. And in the morning, he called again. I spoke with Dionne, and she confirmed it. And I've just been screaming ever since.
And
he was so gracious when he actually recorded the song. In the studio, he invited me out, and I sat through the orchestra, the string section, and when he was layering the jazz guitars, and man, all the people that were, I'm trying to think of everybody that was there, but I did the We Are the World thing, and I had everybody to sign the score, and I've treasured that ever since. That Nat Adderley Jr. and the guitar player, my good friend. Anyway, are they all signed?
Oh, Marcus Miller.
Marcus Miller, thank you.
Okay. In fact, I emailed Marcus to see if he could be on the show today, but he is in Canada performing.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's out running, doing the thing, but I know he would have done it if he could have. Yeah, because they made some incredible music together. Just incredible.
I would love to have heard from him. Now, Terry, let me tell you that this is a two-hour show, and while we would love to have you on for the entire 2 hours, if you cannot do that, we'll understand. Just let us know when you have to leave.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
So catch me up. What have you been doing for the past year?
Well, you know, we've been touring the Luther Show and going all over, and audiences have just been wonderful. We have a few more shows this year coming up, and, you know, I would really love to hear from the fans also on the website and call in now. What we're trying to do with this show is to keep his music alive,
mm-hmm.
not just listening to the records and all that is great, but actually to continue to celebrate his legacy and to the live performances and everybody sing along. And it's just a big Love on Luther Fest. So,
yes.
If anyone wants to see where it's going, where we're going to be in their area, they can always log on to www.theluthershow.com. And we have our tour schedule and where we're going to be. We're doing a really nice show, one of our bigger shows, which includes dancers and we have the screen of some actual Luther footage, and we do 22 of his greatest hits, and we're going to be doing that show in Orange County at the OC Pavilion on August 8th. So everyone in that area, please come out and see us. You can go online and at ocpavilion.com or, like I said, theluthershow.com and get tickets. It's but let me know what songs you want to hear, because we're constantly adding songs to the show. And when we hear that, well, you didn't sing my favorite song. I get that so much. You know?
There's so many of them, you know?
You
wow.
didn't do this one. So, we like to keep it updated and give all of Luther's fans and friends the music that they want to hear. So, but yeah, we've been touring. I've been touring with that show. I'm also still touring with the jazz group Hiroshima.
Okay.
We were just out in San Diego last night, and so excuse my voice; it's a little scratchy.
Oh, no problem. No
but
problem.
I was up late with them doing a couple of shows, concerts out that way, and you know, I'm still writing and just enjoying music. So.
Well, I wanted to let you know that on one of our chatters, Luther 1977, has started a fan page on Facebook, and it's really nice, so you can check that out. And it listed the early years of Luther, you know, all of the, there's pictures, and yeah, it's really nice. So that's on Facebook.
That's great. Yeah, you know, we're doing along with the show, we want to start just a legacy fan club for all of Luther's fans that are just to keep the conversation alive. You know, it's tragic. You know, we've lost so many great, great entertainers. And
mm-hmm.
one thing that we all can do is to keep their music and their legacy alive in our hearts, in our minds, keep it on the airwaves. Luther, he spoke about love, you know, world love, love between man and woman, love between brother and sister, mother and father, just love of life. And that is what the world needs more of, is love. And
yes.
We can keep that going by supporting the different fan pages and concert tours. And I know there's other tours out there also, and I think we just should support this, because we're living in a day that tomorrow's just not guaranteed to us, you know.
Oh, so true. This has been such an emotional week with the passing of Michael Jackson.
Oh, man.
And, you know, Ed McMahon and Farrah Fawcett. So it's been such an emotional week.
Yeah.
And yes, and you're so true. We have to keep the music alive, and I was such a huge fan of Luther's, such a huge fan, and I always wanted to try to do something for him, some type of tribute to him. Tuesday is the 4th anniversary of his passing, and I always want to try to, like you said, keep him in our hearts and in our mind in the forefront so that we don't forget.
Yes, yes.
You know, we do not forget.
It's just such an incredible body of work that, that he gave us, and for us to let that slip away would really do a disservice to the generations that have not heard of him, the ones that are coming up. And I know one of the last things I had an opportunity to speak with his mom before she passed, and I put in the show Impossible Dream, that Luther did a rendition of that song from the musical Man of La Mancha, and that was his one of his mother's favorite songs, and that's one of the things she said. She said that she wanted me to know that whatever I could do to keep his music and his legacy alive, that I had her full support, and she wanted me to put that song in, so I did. And you know, every night that I get up and I'm blessed to be able to sing this incredible catalog of music, you know, I it's not just performing for the sake of performing, but it's in memory of his mom, of Luther, what he gave us, and just some incredible meaningful music with the lyrics. And you know, I as a singer getting into it and a songwriter, I often really pay attention to what the words are in songs and not just the groove or whatever, and Luther's music really allows one to do that. And so I'm in awe every time I sing those incredible lyrics and the melodies, and these things is not, those songs aren't easy to sing. You know, so I mean, he was a craftsman. You know, he was, man, just incredible. Incredible.
Well, we have a phone call. Area code 310. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. This is Jay from the Jay Matt Show.
Oh, hi, Jay. Thank
you
for calling in. Meet Terry Steele.
Terry, welcome. I'm just really grateful. It's really great to see the, you know, when you look at albums, because I'm from the old school, and you see albums, and then you see the writer's credits, and then verbally hear them speak. It's like, oh my God, it's the guy who wrote Here Now.
Oh. Well, man, I'm from the old school too, so I know what you're talking about.
Right, you know. And
you know,
so
we look at liner notes.
I know, you know, and I mean, I'm only 36, but I you know, with me being a celebrity photographer and into art, I always like to have, like, the albums, because I, you know how it is to see your name and credits, you know,
right,
what I'm saying?
Right,
and
right.
So I just love that, and I didn't even know you had a site, and someone put it into the chat room, and I would have to say, I am so impressed with your voice and your deliverance from the stuff that I've heard so far, because,
man,
you know, there are certain artists that are legendary, you know, Michael Jackson, who just passed, and Luther, and yeah, Prince and Whitney. Everybody can't touch their stuff, you know, because you just can't. Some stuff is just meant to just leave it alone.
Right.
And to hear you sing Luther stuff and to have the permission from his family and his fans, that's just such a great feeling. And I wanted to ask you two questions really quick. I wanted to ask you, is your album available on iTunes? Because I'm an iTunes junkie, so I could put it on my iPod. And then also, what does it mean for you to sing Luther Vandross's songs?
Mm. Wow, two great questions. First, the iTunes, the Luther Live in Las Vegas CD that I have available, I only sell that at the shows. It's like, because it's really a keepsake. Because number one, I'm really, and I say this in all of my shows, what I'm doing is out of pure respect and the desire to keep Luther's legacy and those great songs alive. I'm not trying to impersonate Luther. There's only one Luther Vandross. I say this every time I get up. There's only one Luther, and my mama did not raise any fools, and I know I'm not him. But it's just a joy to sing those songs, and each song that I sing, I really do, I take it in, because as an artist, one thing that Luther, and you mentioned Whitney, I've worked with Whitney Houston, and I've written for Whitney and Dionne Warwick and Patti LaBelle, and I did some work for even Barbara Streisand and Hiroshima. And
wow.
I've been very blessed to work with a lot of these people, and one thing I've learned from them is that when you get a song, you have to make it personal. So although they're Luther's songs, I know what they meant to him, but where I have to make them mean something to me to really be able to deliver them. And so it just so happens that when you look at songs like Any Love, I mean, I just love – my big problem is I wish I wrote more of those songs. Because they're so personal to me, you know. Is there any love? You know, I look at, I speak to myself sometimes, and I say, oh my, in a lot of ways, you're a lucky guy. That right there, just that speaks the sentiment. You know, there's a lot of things that's going on in life, but really look, get perspective on it. You know, you're still a lucky guy, you know, to be able to stand here and sing this song. And but now all I need is a chance to try Any Love. I mean, it's just classic.
I'm a huge Luther fan. I mean, huge. I have every Luther Vandross album. I'm only 36 years old.
Wow.
Luther Vandross to me, I mean, I love Luther Vandross so much that, like, when Talking Smooth Jazz, when you put on Luther's photo up, I just lost my mind. And when I read the credits and you said Lisa Fisher too, I was really losing my mind. Because I remember when I first saw Luther was on tour with Anita Baker. And Luther came on first, and it was just such a great show. Like, even the costuming alone, was so immaculate. And you see, I'm getting all like excited about it, because for me, it was theatrical with great music. Because even with Lisa, and it was Kevin Owens, right?
Yes.
In the background, and was it Ava Cherry? You know, all of them in the background, even though they were in the background and you knew they were the background singers, Luther had this ability to still make them a part of the show. And they had elaborate, like, period piece dresses on with all this sequence, and they were beautiful, beautiful, beautiful black women, and I loved it. I loved it, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And I'm so mad that I'm not going to be able to say nothing to Lisa Fisher, because I've been on YouTube, and I know she travels with the Stones, and a lot of people don't know that Luther produced a lot of her stuff on her first album, and a lot of people don't know that she won her first Grammy with Patti. They tied that year, the first time in Grammy history that two people tied for a Grammy. And I was like, where's Lisa Fisher? I've been on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace. And then she's here, so I'm glad that your show is going to be on the archive. But I think what you're doing is awesome, and I'm glad that you're doing it because of the love of it and not for the profit of it. And the last question I wanted to ask you was, a lot of the songs that Luther did and Anita did back in the day, they're like art and history and timepieces. Well, a lot of songwriters now are doing things that are very trendy to make a quick buck. Do you find it hard for you as an established legendary songwriter, do you find it hard for you to present work for new artists to sing some of your stuff?
That is a dynamic, powerful question.
Yeah.
I got to answer it honestly, too, because it's I do find it very difficult, but I don't want to say that sounding like I'm defeated or upset about it or anything like that. I have really learned that I do what I do, and a good song is a good song, and
okay.
It doesn't matter if it's pop, country, hip hop, rap, or whatever. If it's great music, it will find a home. And so I've learned that even back when I was first starting out. It's like you have to really believe in what you're doing, right from your heart, and because you're going to get no's, and just accept the no's as not like, well, the song is awful, but it's not for them. It's not for that time.
Right.
And
okay.
Continue to shop your music and to do your thing. I still write the way I write, and the artists that I'm working with are the ones that hear it and get it, and I'm fine with that. I would much rather hear my song done like Luther did it. He just brought so much life to it.
Right.
When he put it, and same thing I can say about Patti LaBelle and Whitney is like when these artists hear a song that touches them, they're able to transcend whatever I thought the song would sound like and really make it their own, and that's when you get the magic and the hits. So
okay.
I'm willing to wait for that magic. And so if the kids hear it, that's great. And if they don't, I understand. What they're doing is fabulous too, though. You know, I mean, I really
exactly.
think I like a lot of what's going on, and I think there's a place for everybody. So
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I heard that you're just from people in the chat room and just the stuff that I'm reading on your site right now, and I'm going to go on there and buy the album and show some support. I think you sound fantastic. I think it's awesome. And
thank you.
And the host, I'm so grateful you put this on.
Let me tell you, I could not do it. If I've had the as long as I have a radio show, I am going to be honoring Luther in some kind of way every year.
Amen to that.
Yes.
I'm such a supporter of that, and as long as I, you know, I'm going to mark your show as a favorite. So when I see anything with Luther, anything that you got going on and I can squeeze it in, I'm definitely going to check it out. And I'm trying so hard to figure out how I'm going, because my show starts in 30 minutes, and I'm trying so hard to figure out how I can call back in with Lisa. So I'm going to talk to my show producer and say, just double up a song or something, because I have to say something real quick just to just put the question out there and go back on live radio. But thank you so much for answering my questions, and you guys have a great Sunday.
Oh, you too.
Thank
do,
you,
man.
Jay.
If you
right,
have
bye.
Time, come out and see us on August 8th at the OC Pavilion.
And where is that? Because I'm new to LA. Like, where is that at?
It's Orange County. It's about 35 minutes. It's near Disneyland out that
okay,
way.
Okay, and that information is on the site, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, cool. I'll check it out because I've been saying I want to come to Orange County, so this would be my excuse to come.
There you go. Come check us out. It's going to be a great show.
Okay, cool. So I'll bring my mom because she'll be in from Detroit because
oh,
we're from
good,
Detroit.
Man,
all
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
yeah.
So my mother loves Luther Vandross too, so this would be my surprise for her. And we've always wanted to come to Orange County. So we can buy the tickets from Ticketmaster, right?
Yeah, there's a link on my website that will take you directly
over
to the box office also.
Okay, cool. And then what I'll do is I'll once we get there, I'll introduce myself so you can be like, oh, hey, this is the guy on the show.
Please do. We're going to have a little after get-together party. And
okay.
Like I said, the whole concert is a party, so I'm going to be out in the audience and out
okay,
in the
cool.
lobby. So do come up. I'm very
okay, cool. So I would definitely be there with my mom. That's my mom's early birthday present. She don't know yet.
Because
her birthday is September the 20th, and I'm always out of the country shooting editorials or something around her birthday. So this would be her first time in California, and then we both equally love Luther Vandross. So this
oh,
is going to
wow.
be a
all
great
right.
gift for her. Yeah.
Oh,
so
right.
thank you guys so much, and y'all have a great day.
All right.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks. All right, no problem. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, I want to get some music in. Jason is scheduled to call in a few minutes, so I want to get some music in. So I'm going to play Here and Now, of course.
Wonderful.
All right.
what you mean to me. Here in my heart, I believe your love is all I'll ever need. Holding you close through the night, I need.
Here and now, Luther Vandross And I do believe that we have Mr. Jason Miles on the phone. Jason, is that you?
Yep. Good.
How are you?
On that song.
Yes.
I remember recording that with him.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Absolutely.
Terry Steele is on the phone.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Oh, great, man. Great to hear you.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your memories about Luther.
Mm-hmm.
Please share with us how you first came to work with him.
I was working with Marcus Miller, and I had done a number of albums with Marcus. We just finished this record with Miles Davis, his album that Marcus produced, Tutu, the first one Marcus did with him. And so, you know, I had known that Marcus had worked with Luther because he always talked about him and everything, and I kept on hearing, like, him on the phone with him talking about doing another project. And then one night I was just sitting in the car, and Marcus said, you know, I want to turn you on to Luther because we want to change the way that things are going and the direction of the records. And so they wanted to do it, like, more pop, and they wanted more, like, really hot synth stuff on it and everything. And so, you know, obviously I had worked with him now for over a year and a half, and he knew kind of where I was at. And so the next thing I know, they're calling me, and we're on the plane to Montserrat in the British West Indies, and we started doing Give Me the Reason. And and so, you know, after some, you know, going and getting the stuff together, and it was, like, sounding, you know, really good and everything, but I didn't really get a chance to, like, you know, really make the thing rock. And then we started working on this tune, Stop to Love, and we listened in the studios, and, like, you know, Luther was just really lit up because the walls were shaking when we were listening to that tune. And the next day, his coordinator came up to me and said to me, well, you know, Luther wants you to finish the whole album with him. And that was the first I started, where I worked with him for 10 years from then, you know.
Wow. So what other music did you work on with him?
I did another album, Any Love, was
mm-hmm.
the next album we did. And then we did an album that he produced with Gregory Hines.
Mm-hmm.
And Gregory Hines' album. And then I did Here and Now with him, The Best of Luther, The Best of Love. We did a few tunes on that. Then we did some stuff. He produced this, some stuff for Lisa Fisher. I did some of that. I did some stuff with Diana Ross and him. And then I did Power of Love. And then another album called Never Let Me Go. Then the Christmas album. And then I just did a little bit. Then I was, you know, getting into being a more of a producer. You know, even before that, you know, like I just couldn't be a studio guy and, you know, make records anymore because I had to move on. And so a few years later, they were working on something and needed some help on something and wanted to know if I'd come in. And I worked on this album, Luther Vandross, for a minute on that one. But I think, you know, that I always feel like I was there during the time that he really set himself in motion as, like, a real, you know, pop R&B icon, you know, that I was really happy about that.
Well, you wear many hats, producer, musical director, composer,
mm-hmm.
keyboardist. You've produced Michael Jackson's History.
No, I didn't produce that. I played on that, you know.
Oh, you played on that. Okay.
If I produced on it, I'd be living in Hawaii now. You know?
Okay, that's my mistake.
But you know what? I just went downstairs yesterday, and, you know, stood there for a while and looked at. I have a disc that he gave me, 11 million sales of History. And, you know, spent some time looking at that thing, saying, you know, wow, you know, I mean, you know, that was actually one of the last records I ever did as, like, you know, just in the studio with somebody. You know, I wasn't really doing that for a while because I was trying to break out as a producer. And then when I got the call for that, we're talking about Luther, but I actually couldn't make the session. And so they got somebody else to do it. And then, you know, he wasn't making it, and they called me back to come back in, and I went and I kind of nailed this part for this tune for them. And so really worked out good, and he gave me this 11 million selling disc.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty
That's
deep,
awesome.
Right?
Yes. You also worked on Miles Davis' Tutu album?
Yeah, three albums with Miles, Tutu, A Mandala, and Music from Siesta. About four albums with Sanborn. But, you know, that's like some back in the day, you know what I mean? You know, my career has gone through four different phases, you know? I mean, that's what happens when you get old, you know? If you're hanging around long enough, a lot of different things could happen, you know? And so
mm-hmm.
now I'm in, like, phase four, you know?
Wow. Well, you really worked a lot with Luther. And I've always heard that Luther was very generous mm-hmm. with his friends mm-hmm. and that he was also sort of like, I know that he had a great sense of humor because you can hear it on the live CD that he did. But was he also a jokester? Did he like play, you know, practical jokes on you guys?
I don't really remember him playing like, you know, I just remember, you know, like he was into very, you know, quirky kind of things that, you know, that in a lot of times, you know, I understood the humor of it. Like he was totally into wrestling, professional wrestling,
okay.
heavily into wrestling. I mean, I sat there watching pay-per-views with him for years. He'd invite me over to his house and watch stuff, you know, like, and I don't know whether he was convinced. He didn't care. He just liked the characters. And then he loved soap operas. All My Children was huge with him. That was like, you know, I mean, I remember being in the studio with him and like some president of Columbia Records called him and it was in the middle of All My Children and he just said, well, tell him I'm on the microphone, you know. he wouldn't interrupt All My Children. And if he missed it, he had somebody taping All My Children for him every day, you know.
See, men do watch soap operas.
Men do what? You know what? It's very easy to watch soap operas. All you can do is get hooked into it. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Easy for anybody to get hooked into it. You know, a little storyline here, a little storyline there. You know, but I mean, the thing that Luther was a great appreciator of the history of R&B, and that was really important to him.
What was the most generous thing Luther did for you?
Generous?
Yes.
I don't know. Pay me.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
okay.
I had to laugh on that one.
I mean, right, you know?
Cut me a duck.
No, well, actually, you know, a couple of things that were really interesting. I mean, first of all, I would have to say that, you know, that he was a very loyal guy. There were moments when I was busy doing something, and he called, like, you know, like, are you available to work on this record at this point? And I would go, oh, my God, I'm in the studio right now with so-and-so, and I feel so bad because I want to, you know, do this. You know, Luther knows. I said, you know, this was us, you know, into the relationship already. And so they called me back, and they would say, well, how about, like, you know, January 8th to the – I said, yeah, I'm available. Great. Well, we'll just do that then, you know. And it was always like, wow, you know, he would wait for me because Luther was a person into the comfort zone. He would rather wait and know that I was in there or Nat or Marcus or Skip Anderson or something with the people that could relate to him. You know, he didn't want to let everybody in. And the kind of records that we made, you had to let somebody in because we were in the studio all the time together.
Mm.
You know, 12, 14 hours a day. You know, it just can't be like, hey, you know, if you don't know the person and if you don't know what the story is through the ups and the downs, you're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're in somebody with Luther, I mean, Luther's a superstar, you know? So you have to find that balance of, like, you know, yes, we're friends, but, you know, he's Luther, man, and I got to, like, you know, understand the dynamic of the situation that we're working in, you know? And everything is different. Okay, he could be great with this, but I'm still working with him and for him, you
right.
know?
But right.
I mean, there were many, many, you know, just moments that I never looked about being generous or something like that. I just looked at it like, okay, well, here we are, and we're making these albums, and we're going over to Luther's house for a screening of a movie, you know what I mean? Or, okay, well, we're making this album. Okay, well, we don't want to be in the studio tonight eating, so I guess that, you know, well, we're all going to go to the Ivy, and he's going to take us out to eat at the Ivy, you know? Or, like, you know, one night in particular in New York, we were working on Gregory Hines' album, and if you want to talk about, you know, crazy stuff, like the night before we said, oh, I can't believe we're going to get done like midnight tonight. It'll be really great, you know, and all of a sudden, like, Marcus Miller shows up, and I had been working on this David Sanborn album with him, and he just, like, finished the session and came over to our session at another studio, and so we're messing around, and we're listening back, and Luther goes, Marcus, why don't you, play bass, some mini-moog bass on this thing? Okay, and the next thing you know, it's like a quarter after 5, you know, and we got to get back.
Oh, wow.
We got to get back in at 11, and, you know, I mean, the quarter after 5 was like, you know, we're screaming and laughing and just having a really good time that night, joking around, you know, all crazy stories and everything like that. So he had to be back in to work with Will Lee at 11 a.m. to do bass on this one tune, and I'm going, oh, my God, you guys are like, you know, well, and I didn't have to be in until 5. So I was able to go back to the hotel because he always put me up at a hotel in New York because I live 50 miles out of the city. So he was always generous with that and not worrying. He just wanted you there. So I came back to the studio at like 5 o'clock, and everybody's sitting there like with their eyes bugging out, you know. And the assistant came up and said, "Don't worry, we're not working tonight. Luther's taking everybody to the River Cafe, and we're going to have dinner there and just blow the rest of the night off." So we just all got in this car and drove over to Brooklyn, and we had dinner at the River Cafe, and it was like, you know, I don't know, $600-700 or something back in 1988 or something like that. And you know, that's the way he was, but that's what inspired loyalty, and I really understood that. Just like treat the people you work with really well.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be demanding, which he was, but understand the point where we're going to and understand that he appreciates that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I still have, like, for my birthday one year, he bought me this silk Versace couture shirt, and I still have it. And I also, you know, he's the kind of thing where, like, in the shirt there was a special label in there, you know, and it was a plastic label that verified it by Versace. And so I took it out, and I said, "Oh, my God, this shirt's, like, so gorgeous. So thank you so much." And he goes, "Well, this was during Any Love." And he goes, "Oh, you know, Jason, it's a great record, right?" I'm going, "Oh, I love the songs on this album." And then I look, and I go, "Oh, sign this. You know, can you sign this for me? You know, this plastic thing." And he went, "What, the shirt's not good enough? I got to sign the stuff now, you know?" And I'm like, "Come on, Luke. Come on, man. Give me a break." You know? So, well, just everybody called him Lou, you know, L-U, you know.
We called him Lufa, L-U-F-A, Lufa. That's what we call him.
I learned just so much. I learned so much from him because, you know, I always said this, you know, and this isn't on me or anything or the responsibility. It's just a convergence, and that was that, you know, when I started working with Lufa, he was a big star, but he wasn't a superstar. And when I started working with him, you know, everything started changing, and all of a sudden the records were blowing up, and he was doing Madison Square Garden, and I saw, like, the ascension to the superstar vibe and learned a lot from that. I mean, learned a lot about how he's putting together the shows. I mean, if anybody sees what I do and how I put together my live performances or the live shows that I do, from anywhere from, like, you know, Soul Summit to whatever. I just came back from Brazil, you know, and I did this in the spirit of Miles Davis thing down there. And just how I did it, I learned so much from Luther about putting together stuff with the audience and understanding how to get there, because he was a master at that. And I saw enough shows and enough places close up, and I heard enough of his philosophies, you know, and so what's happening. And the one thing that I never forget, several lines that he told me through life, and one of them was, you know, "I will never mess with the money that people pay to see me perform," you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. He was dead serious. Even when there were nights I knew he couldn't sing, and he was still singing, you know, and still nobody knew. But I knew the certain things. It was like, duck that note under there, you know, and tuck that one over there, because he wasn't going to go up to hit that high, you know, here and now, you know. "I believe in love because I'm glad to take the vow," you know. He would, like, you know, he would throw his little, "'cause I believe in love," and I'm, you know. You know that, oh, well, he's, you know, he's a little tired on the voice, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I, like, learned all of this stuff, and then one day we were sitting in there, and he said something, you know, and he almost foretold where the record business was. Even though I felt that he had the power to go to another place, he, you know, he picked all of this stuff up about what's happening in the music business very early. And he said one of the great lines to me that I still use this day, and that is, "I make the best pizza in town. It's the delivery system that gets it to the customer cold."
Hey.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, man.
Wow.
You nailed that thing, man, you know?
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Wow.
So, I
right.
mean, you know, you know, my insights into it. You know, like you could go and, like, I know you're going to talk to Lisa Fisher. Well, her insights can come from where it's at being on the road with him, you
mm-hmm.
know, because, you know, yeah, she spent time in the studio, of course, you know what I mean? She sang on a bunch of the records, but her time in the studio was like, you know, like a lot of other people were like, okay, well, she did a day over here and she did a day over there. When I started an album with Luther, I was in there for months with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I saw him, like, every day, 12 hours a day, you know what I mean? And I understood, you know, what it is I had to adjust in what I do, my personality, where I'm at. And sometimes we're rough, man, you know? There's no doubt about it. Okay, you can't hang with somebody 6 days a week, 12 hours a day without without stuff going down in a good space. But at the end of the day, What is the fiber of that relationship? Is it good and is it strong? Can you look past the little jumps in the road and bumps in the road? Well, yeah, you know. But I also, you know, saw a lot of things, and, you know, sometimes you know when it's time to leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, you know, you see what's happening. But, I mean, the last time I saw Luther was, I mean, for real, when we were together, you know, was when I did that record and I was about to turn 50 and he was about to turn 50. And, you know, it's always a joke that we were the same year together, you know, same year we were born, you know, and all that other stuff. And, you know, he would always, you know, we'd go back and forth because we were like kind of like the oldest baby boomers in the room, me and him, you know. And what happened was that the last time I saw him, when we were in the studio, he was about to turn 50, and it was right then, and some good things happened. I just won a Grammy, and a new album that I had was about to come out that was really getting great vibes. And so, you know, I went back there because I said, I don't have a problem ever working with like, people. My ego's not some big thing. I came from the studios, and I can go and adapt to whatever, you know, whatever the word is. I'm getting paid to do this. You're giving me the work, and you deserve the work. But I remember in there, and it was my last day there, and he was walking out of the studio. He goes, oh, Jason, thanks so much, man. I go, hey, Luther, man, right? 20th of April coming up, man. You know, I'm right behind you. We're going to turn 50. He looked at me, and he said to me, oh, please, we look fabulous, right? You know?
That's him.
And I said, right? You know what I mean? You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, you can go, and you can't make this up because
right.
Because it's the truth. I know it is. I live there. I mean, like one Thanksgiving, you know, Kathy and I, she came out. We were working on Power of Love. And we were out in L.A. lots of hours, you know, and I mean 12 to 2 every day. And what happened was that I said to her, okay, she came out to visit me because we had a little Thanksgiving break of a few days off. And I said, okay, well, let's find a restaurant around here, you know. So we going to find a restaurant and, you know, so a place that was going to serve, you know, open for Thanksgiving, nice place in West Hollywood. And then the day before Thanksgiving, he just comes up, well, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving? I said, we're going to a restaurant. Well, forget about that. Come over to the house, you know. Yeah. So we just went over to the house, and it was just like me and Kathy and Ray, his engineer, and Terry, you know, his wife, and Elijah, who was his trusted assistant at the time, and we just turkey and, you know, that sugarless apple pie, you know, because he was a diabetic, and it was, you know, and then he had a movie there. We watched the thing, we watched wrestling, and, you know, we spent the whole day there with him, you know.
Oh, my. And Terry, you, Luther won a Grammy for Here and Now.
Absolutely.
And last year you shared the story about what he did for you, and you attended the Grammy Awards with him. Please reshare that.
Oh, well, you know what? I did not attend it with him. I actually went with Dionne Warwick. But
oh, okay.
What happened was that when I got the nomination, Luther called and congratulated me on the song. And the first thing out of his mouth was, so what are you going to wear? And I was
exactly.
Like, well, I don't know, a suit or tux or something. And he said, no, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go to Tony Chase, my designer. He's going to make you something.
Yep, Tony Chase.
Yeah, and I went.
Made all of his gowns and everything, you know.
Yeah, and Tony made, with Luther's instructions and gift, made this beautiful jacket with the one of Luther's patterns, actually. And because Tony, you know, he couldn't do that unless Luther gave him permission to do it. And I wore that to the Grammys, and now I include it in the show. I wear that jacket.
And Miles Davis gave me a sport jacket, man. It's still hanging in my closet. You
wow.
know what I mean? You know, these are things. Like I said, this shirt doesn't fit me anymore. You know, I mean, I wish it did, and it could. You know, really, I'm just a little off from fitting it, but I mean. That's a piece of memorabilia that I have. I mean, and the one thing about Luther that was very cool was that he always sent you platinum albums from
yeah.
the work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you never paid for that stuff. It just showed up, you know. He always
right.
he always did that and made sure that you had it. I'll tell you a funny thing. That I got this invitation for his 40th birthday party in L.A. It was a surprise party. I'm not so convinced it was a surprise, but, you know, there was like some huge – were you there?
I was not there.
There was some huge ice sculpture in there, the place. I mean, it's like all of a sudden, like, you know, it's my 40th birthday, you know, and he gets Elijah. What are we going to do? And Elijah, I don't know, we'll go out to a restaurant, you know, right, like Luther was going to believe that, you know. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, what happened, but we were all out there. But anyway, what happened was that some amazing thing came together, and for some strange reason, I found a Versace suit on sale that was like $2,500, and I ended up getting it for like $450.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a huge discount in New York at this place,
Charles
Barley. No, it was amazing. But you know what? It was a gorgeous suit, a one of a kind. And I said to Kathy, my wife, well, this is what I'm going to wear to Luther's, you know, party and everything. Because it was a big deal, man. I mean, all these people, Sylvester Stallone, Magic Johnson. I mean, all these people were there. And then it was us, you know, the renegade table, you know. And so what happened was that at the end of the night, we were upstairs. And, you know, in those kind of situations, I understood this. I didn't have to vie for his time or whatever,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I know what the story is. You know what I mean? He saw me across the room, and me and Kathy, you know, like we went up to Luth, you know, hey, man. Happy birthday, man, you know, 40th, you know, we started laughing, Kathy gave him a little kiss, gave him a hug. Oh.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, okay.
I'm still there?
Okay, yes.
Okay, so anyway, I'll make it fast, but anyway, you know, so at the end of the night, we were standing upstairs because I had a big band playing, and well, I was actually watching Lisa Fisher and Kevin Owens dancing, swing dancing.
Wow.
Yeah, so what happened was that Luther walks across the room right to me and Kathy, and looks at me, and looks at my suit and goes, Jason, make sure they roll press the collar on the suit. Right, Kath? Right?
That's him.
You know what I mean? That's
every
kind
time
of
I thing. Saw him, that's what he talked about with me, with the clothes.
Yeah.
What is that, Versace? What is that? He knew.
Exactly.
He
I
knew.
Mean, he was a unique person because, you know, he really did care about the fashion sense of how his shows were presented.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of people took it from him, man. You know, they really did. He really had an amazing sense of style.
Yeah.
And in his house he had incredible, you know, stuff and Lalique and stuff. But you know, I mean, we're living in a strange time where, as crazy as it sounds, you know, people are getting forgotten about. I don't think Michael Jackson will get forgotten about. But I do think that the people like the Luthers who still were superstars, you know, as years go on, you know, you hope that they still maintain some of the luster that was there.
And that's one reason why I'm really focused on doing the show, to just keep that music. Man, those are – I was hearing you talk about all the records, and I'm like, oh, those are all my favorite songs.
Yeah.
They're so incredible. And just to keep that alive, because we cannot let – this new generation, that's what I always think about, the generation that's coming now that don't know that the songs that were the foundation for what they're doing now.
They don't have the attention span to pay attention to the songs.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing, because it's not the same thing with the beat and with this. I mean,
right.
these are songs, I mean, I saw, we were in the studio and we had done this, and I am looking for the paper and I cannot find the paper of the sequence for Power of Love that he had that I took from the studio, except for one thing. Power of Love wasn't on there, and we had the whole album done without Power of Love.
Really?
And then Luther just listened down and said, you know, man, Marcus, you should try to put together another tune, something really cool, something now, something that's got a thing to it, but me, you know what I'm talking about. And so I was in, you know, we were in the studio, and I just, you know, that song was written right at A&M Studios. And, and so what happened was that, you know, he understood still about how that tune was. If you listen to it, it just starts out with drums and a keyboard pad. And then it builds from there and builds from there. And what happened was that he still understood that the most important thing was the melody and how the melody and the lyric were all brought together. That's something that a lot of people don't have.
Right.
And you know, I was just in Brazil, and we had played down there at this great festival, and I was sitting around the pool, and they were playing this music, and I'm saying to myself, listen to this. This is Beyonce. What have they got that auto-tune sound on her for? She's Beyonce. Does she need to go down to that place? Because if I heard that on Luther's voice, that wasn't some crazy remix or something by somebody that wanted to mash up something, but actually was on his record. I don't care if I was working with him or not. I mean, I would call him up and tell him, man, you don't need to be going there.
Right, right. The voice, that was him.
Mm-hmm. Lisa is scheduled to call in a few minutes, and I want to get another song in before she does. And this is one of my favorites from his 94 songs, a CD, Going in Circles. I absolutely love this song. I think Luther was the king of remakes and ballads, and nobody does them better than he did.
Well, I hope that before the show ends, because I'm going to sign off, that you go and you play Love Won't Let Me Wait.
Yes, I have that. I have that.
Incredible.
That is like the love song of doom, singing that thing. I saw him do that vocal, you know, and I don't know. You know, there was a magic, man. There was a certain magic. And I don't know any artist or vocalist that really has that special magic like Luther. And you know what? It may happen, but it's going to skip a couple of generations before somebody appreciates Luther again.
Yeah, he was one of
them. Okay, all right. This is Going in Circles.
Without a destination real, and I'm an ever-spinning top, whirling around till I drop. Oh, but what am I to do? My mind is little home, one small thing to cling to. Yeah. You got me going in circles. Oh, round and round I go, going in circles. Timeless hopes that never stop, never, never. When I feel that way, you know my soul's at stake.
You know.
Oh, but what am I to do? My mind is. Got me going in circles.
Yeah.
in Circles, one of my favorites by Luther. That is from his 1994 Songs CD. And we have a caller, 917. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, Lisa Fisher here. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing well, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Lisa, this
Terry
is Terry Steele.
Terry Steele is on the phone.
What was that?
Terry Steele is on the phone.
Hi, Terry, how are you?
I'm good.
It's good to hear your voice.
It's so good to hear yours, and I said I'm going to like wait so I can at least say hello to you. I haven't seen you in such a long time, but
oh,
I miss you.
I miss you, too. You're doing well. You sound great.
Oh, man, thank you. So do you. You sound fabulous. And I'm going to sign off, but I did want to say hello to you before I left. And, Terry, thank you for this another opportunity to be on this show.
Terry.
And let's do it again next year.
Oh, definitely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and it's truly an honor to have you on. And thank you again for the opportunity to talk to you.
You guys have a great one.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, Miss Lisa,
hi.
It is such an honor to talk to you.
It's an honor to speak to you as well. How's it going?
It's going well. We talked to Jason Miles a little bit ago, and he was telling us about his time with Luther. And I wanted to have you on the show because you were a backup singer, and you sung with Luther for a long time, many years. And I remember seeing your beautiful face on the stage at the concerts. And so I wanted to know how you came about to meet Luther and become one of his singers.
I was working with a group called the Marvelettes, and there was a choreographer there named Bruce Wallace. And Bruce had asked if I would be interested in auditioning for Luther Vandross, and I didn't really know very much about Luther's music. And then I knew about Change, and I had just heard, like, Never Too Much, and I was just kind of getting into the whole, you know, Luther thing. And so I listened to the music, and I went down to the audition, and I just remembered meeting him. He was behind the piano, and there were people, you know, there was a couple of singers standing. I think it was Alpha Anderson, I believe, was there. And
mm-hmm.
Philip Ballou was the other singer there, and Brenda White King, Brenda White at that time, and Luther and Bruce. And so Luther had put me through some paces vocally, and we just sang some things and just had a bunch of, like, you know, singer fun, you know.
Okay.
And then he kind of looked at me and he says, "Well, if you can dance, you got the gig." I was like, And so I did some movements and stuff with the girls, and then he hired me on the spot. I was just so,
wow.
I was just so absolutely shocked. I was so happy. And I loved how just the things that he asked me to do, not a lot of people had asked me to do before, so it was just so nice that somebody was asking me to do something that was kind of outside the norm. It was so refreshing for me vocally. I was just like, oh, okay. It was just wonderful. It was wonderful.
And how long were you with him?
This was in 1983, I want to say. I want to say it was 1983.
Okay. Now, we had a caller on earlier, and he was talking about the concerts and the shows, the production, the gowns, and how wonderful everyone looked. And I have always said that Luther had the best backup singers. They were the best in the business, in my opinion.
I think he would love hearing that, and I think he did love hearing that. I think, what at least from my point of view, what you saw was his vision. Because
mm-hmm.
when I came to him, I didn't know the first thing about makeup. My version of putting on makeup was like, go down to the, you know, pharmacy and get some, you know, Maybelline eye pencil and some red lipstick and use it for some rouge. And that, you know, I didn't know anything about face and lashes and things. I didn't know anything about that. I just, you know, I didn't know what a manicure was.
Oh.
was. I mean, you know, I was like, you know, I was, you know, from Brooklyn, just kind of chilling, minding my business, you know.
Well, you guys were awesome. I'm telling you, the costumes, the gowns, they were beautiful.
Oh,
they were beautiful, and I heard that Luther was like, he designed everything.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. I mean, I think Tony Chase was at least the first one that I remembered meeting on a large scale. He had done a lot of the sketches, and Luther had a strong visual of what he wanted. He liked
mm-hmm.
Erte, and I didn't know what the heck Erte was, but he liked all
mm-hmm.
those kind of things. He loved art. So a lot of that, I think, shows in the clothes that he chose and the lines that he chose.
Yeah.
Forgive me, I'm near the water and there's a bunch of traffic here. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
But yeah, he loved all that. I mean, he was just so particular about the presentation. And I mean, you know, he took a lot of pride in giving people a good show. It's
mm-hmm.
like he wanted so much to give people a good show. And I mean, he came out of his pocket to do it. It wasn't that, you know, the record company was, you know, necessarily footing a huge, it's not like a Budweiser was footing a huge bill, you know.
Okay.
What did Budweiser do? Maybe they might have backed one or two. You know what? It's been so long ago, I can't remember who backed what and who did what, but it wasn't, I had never seen anybody spend the kind of money that he spent on any clothes for me. Let me put it that way. I was like, how much did this dress cost?
Well, we certainly got our money's worth, that's for sure. We certainly got our money's worth.
Yeah, he really cared.
And
all that to say,
yeah.
He
and even when, you know, you were at a concert and you were sitting in the nosebleed section, you felt like he was speaking to you when he would sing. And, you know, it was just, oh, they were so, so nice. I'm in Las Vegas, and the last couple of times I saw Luther, he was here once with Gerald LaVert and Angie Stone, and
oh
it was on the Strip.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Getting to the Strip on the weekend, traffic was just horrible. And by the time we got into the concert, Gerald LaVert was singing his last song. That's how long it took us to get into the concert. But I'm telling you, when Luther came out, and I knew I was going to be in the nosebleed section, so I brought my binoculars. It was awesome. It was just, he never put on a bad show. There was never a bad show.
Oh, man, he really cared. He really, really cared about what he was presenting. Everybody needed to be on their A game. Everybody needed to be present and aware. It was really important to him, you know, that the audience walked away feeling that they really got something they could take away with them. It meant that much to him.
For sure. We're taking calls for those of you that would love to hear your memories of Luther Vandross. Please call in at 646-716-5485. Lisa, I want to play two of your songs. We have to play How Can I Ease the Pain for sure. Definitely have to play that. But I want to play a song, a duet that you did with Luther.
Okay.
Called Whether or Not the World Gets Better.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I have to play that because Luther was king. I had just said that Luther was the king of remakes and ballads. And I have to include duets in that because he did some awesome duets.
Oh, man, with Cheryl Lynn and Beyonce.
Yes.
Just so
His
many
world
people.
Were mine.
Oh,
my goodness.
My God.
She
yeah.
did some awesome duets. But this one with you, this is Whether or Not the World Gets Better.
We don't play any games, my girl. If the world outside gets too cold and feels too lonely, and it gets real bad.
Lisa, you have such a beautiful voice.
Bless you, thank you.
Such a beautiful voice. Now, your album, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
Okay. Your album, So Intense. When that first came out, I thought Luther had produced that album. Now, did he or did he work on some of the songs on that?
He worked on some. He worked on Wildflower. He produced Wildflower, and he wrote Get Back to Love.
Okay.
I think there was something else. There were a few producers on the record, and I haven't thought about the record in a while, so please forgive me sounding like I have no idea what my own career is about. But Narda Michael Walton produced Japanese Pain and So Intense, title track.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And Zane Giles did, oh no, and so Narda did three. I think Luther did two or three. It was Get Back to Love, and there was another one, I want to say. Do you have the CD there?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have the CD there by any chance?
I do not. I'll have to look it up on the website.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, but he did Wildflower, and he did Get Back to Love. But I want to see if there was one other. Somebody help me. I can't think of it right now. Wow. I haven't thought about the record in a long time.
Okay. All right. That's okay. I believe my co-host Mike Reynolds is on. Mike, is that you?
Hey, sir. Yeah, it is me. What's going on?
Okay. All right. So Mike is here. Mike, meet Lisa Fisher.
Hi, Mike.
You okay?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine today.
Good.
Okay. Lisa, I understand that you're touring with, is it the Rolling Stones?
I was on tour with them. They're done now, but for the last year I've been on tour with Tina Turner since August of last year, and I just got home recently, so I'm still sort of kind of coming down from the tour.
Okay.
Which has
all
been
right.
Great. It's been lovely.
Now, is there any new music coming down the pipe from you?
I'm going to probably do some writing over the summer into the fall, and I think I'm going to do a couple of dates on my own, but probably more in Europe. That's kind of what I'm planning for right now.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah,
all
there
right.
might be one or two things, but nothing solid yet. So I'm still kind of working on it. It kind of takes a minute just to kind of get over the tour mentality for me. You know, there's kind of, there's a serving that you have to, you know, be willing to do, and it's just a kind of, not personal shutdown, but you have to kind of really focus your energy on what it is you promise to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Once those juices, those creative juices start to flow again, I can get started again. So we'll see. I'm hoping that happens before August.
Okay. Now, have you talked to the other band members, Matt Adderley Jr. and the other backup singers recently or lately?
Recently, I have spoken to Alpha Anderson and Tinker Barfield. Those are the last two. I saw them about a week ago. We were doing a session for a friend. And so I did speak with them. Tinker wasn't feeling well when I spoke with him, but Alpha is doing wonderful. She's absolutely wonderful. And still, and sounds like an angel, still sounds beautiful.
Oh, okay. And yeah. What about Nat?
I've not spoken with Nat in a while.
Okay.
I've not spoken with him in a while, but I plan on catching up with him. It's the
yeah.
kind of thing, you know how like you just have siblings and friends and family members that when you speak to them, not a day has really passed.
Mhm. Mhm. Now, I asked Terry and Jason what was the most generous thing Luther did for you, for them. So I want to ask you the same question.
The most generous thing? In my opinion, probably hiring me. I think hiring
okay.
me. Because for me, it gave me a little insight to what could be.
Okay.
And I don't think that anything material can top that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Materialistically, tell me the question again. I want to be sure that I understood it completely.
Well, I have always read that Luther was a very generous person in terms
okay.
of giving gifts.
Gifts, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. A fur coat.
Really?
Yes. First of all, I'd never owned one in my life. And the thing was, he had us, he had Lenny, who was the wardrobe master, come in and fit us, quote unquote, supposedly, for pajamas. Right. I figured, oh, these are going to be some fabulous pajamas we're going to get, right? So we get fitted and all that stuff. And then when the boxes come, these big boxes, I was like, what kind of pajamas are these, you know?
Mm.
And he called us all in there. He says, okay, he says, I don't want none of y'all to open the box. I want you all to open at the same time. So we all opened at the same time. And there was just a bunch of yelling. You thought he was back there killing women. It was just like with me, Cindy Mincel, Paulette McWilliam, Ava Cherry. Oh, God. I think Kevin got one, too. I'm not sure. I just remember the girls squealing.
Mm-hmm,
it was
mm-hmm.
a girl's squeal. Maybe
wow.
it wasn't Kevin. It couldn't have been Kevin. I think it was all the girls that day. But it was just so beautiful. I still have the coat to this day.
Well, I guess next to diamonds, that is the next best thing.
It was just so,
wow.
it's so old Hollywood for me. It's so, it's so classic and romantic in gesture, but it wasn't meant as a romantic gift, you know what I mean? It just represents
right.
for a lot of women, you know, diamonds. Oh, my husband got me a diamond. Oh, he got me, you know. It was just
yes.
so beautiful and so giving and so unnecessary, you know, because, I mean, for me, and for everybody, I mean, what he gave as a human being was so dynamic that this was just like the sweetest icing on the cake. And you didn't need it. It's like having pound cake, but putting icing on the pound cake, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, it's cool, but you don't need it.
Wow. Well, I guess that was, you know, his way of showing his love for his friends and, you know, thanking you for being a part of his life. That's great. Yeah, I had always read that about him, so that's great. Now, I definitely want to play How Can I Ease the Pain, because I can't have you on the show and not play that. That was a big, big song. It was a huge hit. And I remember I was working in a law firm at the time that it came out, and the attorney that I was just was like so in love with you. He was just crazy in love with you. That's my girl. That's my girl. Every time the song came on the radio, it was just like, okay, calm down.
Oh, man. It just came to me. The third song Luther did, Send the Message of Love. Lord have mercy. Oh. It just hit me like a brick. A year later. Lord, somebody help me anyway.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny. Okay, here is How Can I Ease the Pain.
Thank you, Terry.
Oh,
beautiful. Lisa, how did you hit that note, girl? Shatter
no,
glass
really
with that.
Lovely. Oh, God.
Beautiful song. Just
yeah, I love that song. And mm-hmm. a real quick story, too. I know when Terry told me that she had reached out to you and you said you were going to come on. And she said, yeah, Lisa Fisher's going to be on the show. I'm like, Lisa Fisher, Lisa Fisher? I'm like, how can I ease the pain, Lisa Fisher? She's like, yeah. I said, oh, that's my song right there. I said, I'm definitely going to call it now. So.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
How can I ease the pain? Such a beautiful song. Oh, yeah. So where were you when you heard of Luther's passing?
I was in London. I was working on the Live 8 tour for Madonna. And I wanted to go by to see him before I left. And I kicked myself because I didn't. I was like, oh, I'm so exhausted. I was like, yeah, every excuse in the world, you know. And someone had called me like a year or so prior to that with a scare saying that Luther had passed away and it wasn't true, and they were kind of privy to some information, and they thought that what they were reading was correct, it was actually incorrect. So at that point I felt like, you know, whenever I hear the news, I don't believe it when I first hear it, because you know how you hear it and you're like, yeah, sure. So but I was watching CNN when I was in London, and that I looked at CNN and I thought, okay, they tend to be pretty responsible, and then I called home. But yeah, I was in London.
Oh, okay. I went home crying, but when I found out about it, I left work crying. I couldn't stay at work.
Yeah.
And I left work, and I came home, and just it was like, because we were all hoping that he would pull through, you know, and they kept telling us he's doing better.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but
I guess that was relative. Too. Yeah, it was relative to the stroke and how and all that. And we're like, I would have paid any amount of money to see him come back and perform again. I just would have paid any amount of money. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. We would, you know. You know, people would go by, and, you know, there's so many wonderful people. And I so apologize for that. I mean,
was that a motorcycle?
Yes, child, please. We're in Brooklyn, child. It's all good. Near Coney Island, near the water, on the beach. I was like, you know, if I'm going to be doing this, let's be near some beauty. But, you know, Brooklynese part. But what was I just saying about – there were so many great people that were caring for him, his family, his mom, friends, dear friends, and it seemed like he was, I don't know, I just remembered when he had first was able to speak, you know, when he was out of the coma, or I don't know exactly all the details of what he would, whether he was in the coma, he wasn't, you know, it's, you know, everybody has different opinions about what was going on medically. I don't know for sure. All I know is I went one time and he couldn't respond. And then the next thing I know, he was talking. So I was just happy. I was just happy, and it just gave me hope, you know. And then I thought to myself, well, that gives me hope. And I said, but what does that give him? What is he feeling? What is he experiencing? I can't even imagine what this is like, I couldn't imagine what it was like to be him in that moment, you know.
Yeah.
Anyone that goes through that, any illness for that matter, it's like you just don't know what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes, you know. So
that's
I know what I wanted, what I felt, but as far as what he was feeling, all I know is when I would come to visit, and it seemed to me that when he would sing something, he could tell me whether or not I was singing a wrong note, if I was singing a wrong lyric, even in the state he was in, you know. So it gave me hope that he was improving. Maybe it was false hope. Maybe it was some old, I don't know, part of the brain that just remembered, you know, lyrics and maybe didn't know what day it was that day. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know really what that's all about. It just gave me hope. And I think at some point, I just looked at him and I thought to myself, how long can whatever this is go on? It's like, I want to see him get better. I just want to see him get better. You know what I mean?
Yes,
if that's
we
not
all
possible,
did, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, what, you don't want anybody to go through any hell. You just don't want them to go through any hell while they're here. You know, it's like he was very in control of his life and, you know, about what happened to his career and on stage and just, you know, in every aspect, and to not be in control of himself, I can't imagine what that must have been like for him, you know. So somewhere in my heart, I keep thinking that maybe he just decided it was time to let go.
You know, I heard an interview, Fonzie Thornton and Luther's mother were on the Gayle King show. And I think Fonzie said to Gayle that if he could not sing, then he did not want to, you know, he just didn't want to live. If he couldn't sing, he didn't want to live. And Fonzie seemed to think that at that point he just would have rather gone than stayed.
That makes a lot of sense to me. And I mean, Fonzie knows. His mom, you know, knew. I still can't get over the fact that his mother's gone.
I know. I didn't.
Oh, so
I was shocked when Terry told me about it, and I didn't. That was last year when he told me about that, and I hadn't heard anything about it, and it really surprised me.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing is just so heartbreaking. I mean, you know, I was talking to somebody today about this, and I was saying, you know, it's not so much death that disturbs me. I understand, you know, that we come and we go, we ebb and we flow. I get all that. It's the act of dying that disturbs me.
Mm.
You know, death is just, you know, this unknown. And there's a lot of unknowns in our life that we deal with and we get through. And it's all exploration to me. But it's not knowing the pain, not knowing the, you know, just the angst and just what's up. It's the act of it that scares me to death. Mm. You know. But I don't know.
Do you have a favorite tour with Luther?
A favorite tour? Ooh, I would have to say the one with the Sounds of Blackness.
Oh, okay.
That was so much fun because there was just so many of us. So many, and there's always music going on and around, and you could hear the choir practicing, and it was such a great time for them, and it was also a special time for me and Sounds of Blackness and for Luther, I think, because everybody had gotten Grammys. That was one tour where everybody on the tour had gotten a Grammy. It was just like, it was just amazing. It was just so amazing. And we were just loving each other so much. It was just wonderful. It was wonderful. It was a lot of good times, too.
Yes. Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. I mean, you guys look like you had a ball on stage. You know, just the way that you interacted with each other and played off each other. It was wonderful. It was just wonderful. I miss that so much. And then, you know, knowing that there'll never be another Luther Vandross concert, I just miss that. Miss that.
It was so sincere. It was so like, you know, watching your brothers and sisters like play fight with the pillow, you know what I mean? It was just,
because
we all traveled together, and we slept on the buses together, and we laughed, and we took naps together and backstage for the show. It was just such a great place for me to be. It was so positive and so nurturing for me in so many ways, because Luther was just so, he wanted to be sure everybody was okay. He wanted, okay in the sense that he wanted you to understand what your gift was, how to improve on it, if you were willing to go with it, you know, if you're willing to go with it and could understand and to just kind of, you know, relax into it, because I tend to, you know, I was a little too, you know, uptight. I needed to kind of relax, but, you know, I can't, a little high strung. But, you know, I mean, it's interesting, I So each situation you go to, you learn a different lesson. Each person is teaches you something, and it's so beautiful. And he was just amazing. And he used to be a teacher, too.
Yeah. Well, it has been such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling in. Mike, do you have any last questions for Lisa?
Hi, Mike.
No, I just want to apologize to you guys for calling in late and everything. Like I said, you know, been doing a lot of running around. But I don't have any questions for Lisa. Just, like I said, I just can't wait to hear that voice again or something. You know, that's all.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Michael. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
You have a great day there at the beach. Enjoy it. I know it's got to be beautiful there.
We're finally seeing some sun. I thought we would have to call Noah in with the ark. I was like, what is going on with this rain? But, yeah, it's like everybody's out here now and just happy to be out here. So it's a beautiful thing. I say take the moments as they come. You know?
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, thank you again for the opportunity to speak with you, and thank you for calling in and sharing your memories about Luther. We so appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
And the chat room says thank you as well.
Aw, tell them I said thank you. That's so sweet. Hello.
All right. You have a great day.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Great.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Miss Lisa Fisher. Oh, what a joy to speak to her. Wow. So, yeah, Mike, Terry Steele called in, and he stayed on for an hour, and he wanted to say hello to Lisa before he left. So he talked to us about his memories with Luther, and then Jason Miles called in at 1:30. He was a producer. He worked with Luther for about 10 years, he said, and worked on a lot of his music. So I want to thank all of them, Jason Miles and Terry Steele and Lisa Fisher. Thank you so much again for calling in and sharing your memories about Luther. Terry Steele's CD is called Live in Las Vegas. He did say that he only sells them at his shows, but you may be able to get it off the website. But there is a song on the CD called We Remember You that he wrote for Luther, and I'm going to close the show on that song. It is a beautiful song, and I always like to close the show on this song. So any last comments, Mike?
No last comments. No, not at all.
No? Okay. Well, I want to thank everyone in the chat room. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Connie Colbert, Phil Biff, French Toast, Guest 2142, Luther 1977. Luther 1977, love you. Thank you so much. Phoenix the Dragon and Sean Cito and Ballads of Love. If you missed any of the show, catch the archive show for sure to hear, you know, the rest of the show. So that is it for today. Thank you all again for tuning in and helping me share this tribute for Luther, and as I said earlier, this has been a very emotional week, but as we come up on Luther's fourth anniversary of his passing, please just kind of think of him, say a little prayer for him, and play some of his music. Don't forget about the music. All right, so this is the Jazz Queen.
This is Mike Reynolds.
And you have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz on blogtalkradio.com. I am closing the show with Terry Steele's We Remember You. Bye.
remember Luther.
I remember Luther.
I remember Luther. Yes, we remember you.
We remember you and the way you made our hearts sing. Your serenade for two kept the love alive. You set us free and loved us with the power of your song. Made us believe. We remember you. You sailed away one quiet afternoon. You said good night, said I'll be home real soon. Without fanfare, just love to lead your way.
With this lullaby.